Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to welcome you to our Friday School of the Prophets. And today, you're going to be listening to the minister, Bruce Ford, associate minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church, where I serve as senior pastor. And before we get into the word today, we want you to just welcome you, those who are listening to our MySpace page, those who are listening to our podcast, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem. You may be listening from our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and at is spelled out A-T. You may be listening on a CD from whatever venue you're joining us today. We believe that God has a word for you. And again, our speaker for this moment is Reverend Bruce Ford, associate minister of Bethlehem Baptist Church, and you can get to his page at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and click the tab that says Ford if you want to hear more messages by him. Now, let's get into the word.
I'm going to say that once again. Bethlehem, share the love. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again, giving honor to God, the strength of my life, my Savior, my Redeemer. Just want to praise him for who he is, because he's worthy to be praised. Let's go to the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your holy and precious name. Father God, we come once again to call upon your most holy name because you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. You are our rock and our fortress. You are our God. Father, we come this evening to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to fellowship, an opportunity to share your word, an opportunity to pray, because a call to preach is a call to pray. Father God, we come this evening in Jesus' name asking that your anointing would fall fresh upon me. Father God, I ask that you would speak to me and speak through me, that your people might be edified and that your holy and precious name might be glorified. I pray, Father God, that people would hear you and not me. I pray that they see you and not me. And I pray, Father, your anointing upon all who hear this word. I pray, Father God, that it would touch them down in the innermost recesses of their heart, Father God, and cause them in Jesus' name to begin to live a life that's pleasing to you. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we want to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 11, and verse 14. You found it? Would you signify by saying amen? And if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy and precious word. And the word of the Lord says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and precious word, and may he bless the hearers, readers, and doers of His precious and holy word. Amen. Our focus verse is going to be verse 11. And it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Yes. Our title to this text, we want to say, be encouraged. Right. But we also want to subtitle this, comfort and edify. Mm-hmm. To edify means to build up. You know, there are times that we're down and we need to be built up. Yeah. So the word tells us to edify. You know, sometimes it only takes one little word or a smile or a grasp of the hand and even a hug. Sometimes it means standing by someone during a particularly hard time and helping him or her not to give in to despair. What does encouragement mean to you? Can you recall a time when someone came alongside you for the sole purpose of lifting your spirits or making you smile? Have you ever done that for someone who was hurting? You know, it feels good to know you are loved.
Yes, yes, yes.
It really feels good when you hit the low spots and you can't see clearly, when you can't get a handle on God's direction or purpose for your life. Love comes through.
Well.
Encouragement for the early church came in the form of a person, as it does today. Sometimes just the sight of a certain loved one can reinvigorate your spirit and remove your focus from yourself.
Well.
You know, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy to encourage the church. More than once, he sent Tychicus as an envoy of joy. By seeking ways to daily build up those with whom you interact, you further the potential for meaningful, Christ-centered relationship. As Paul told the persecuted Thessalonians, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing.
Yes.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Tonight I want to cover about three points, three key points, and then I'm going to let you go home. The first that I want to look at is comfort and edify the lost. The second is comfort and edify the lonely and fearful. And then comfort and edify the learned. In verse 14 it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. You know, we as a people, as God's people, as church people, get into a habit of being impatient with the lost. And I heard the pastor say the other night that we don't call them lost anymore. We're calling them pre-Christians now.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so that's the way I'm going to look at it from this point on, as pre-Christians.
Yes.
But we do. We can witness to our loved ones. We can witness to our co-workers. And when they don't do it, or they don't grasp it, when we think they should grasp it, we're through with them.
Well,
we throw up our hands and say, well, I done done what I'm supposed to do, so I'm through with them.
Yes.
But the Word of God says in that 14th verse, be patient with all. It tells us that we ought to comfort and edify the lost. You know, we haven't always been saved. God sent somebody into our lives to comfort and edify us. You know, I love, and you'll always hear me talk about the senior women. that God used to play a part in my life. And when I was out in the world doing whatever I thought I was big enough to do, God would send one of those godly women into my life. I'd be trying to duck and hide from them, or hide my bottle or whatever, or try to hurry up and get away from them, because I had that much respect for them. But the thing of it was, they never came to me and said, "Boy, you know what you're doing is wrong. You need to get yourself back in the church." What they would tell me was, is that, "I love you. I miss you in church. You know, we had a good service this past Sunday. When are you coming home?" That's encouragement. You know, because, and I want us to hear this. When we're talking to pre-Christians who are out there doing whatever they want to do, don't nobody know better than them what they need to do. So by us beating them over the head with what's going on in their lives, we only push them that way further away from God. The word says to comfort and edify. And we're talking about the pre-Christians. We are to comfort and edify them. Why? Because we see God beginning to work in them. You know, and if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is praying for them, then we're not going to have the time, or we're not going to have the impatience to want to beat them up when we see them. Why? Because we already know that their name has been placed before God. And we already know that God's going to work it out according to his divine and holy will. And this morning, to that person who is sitting in here, who is a pre-Christian, I want to encourage you tonight. I want to build you up tonight. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. You know, and I want you to understand that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to, before I move on to the next point, I want to leave you with this other, this one last point, because it's a point that will bless you if you'll just take it and apply it. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The reason I say these are encouraging words is because you don't have to do anything. The word says believe and confess. And the word is not, it's truth. The word is truth. And so place these words in your heart and let God minister to you. I want to encourage you tonight. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now we want to look at comforting and edifying the lonely and fearful. All right. It says in verse 14 again, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." There are times in our lives, even in our walk with Christ, that we get lonely. We can be surrounded by a room full of people, and we get lonely. There are times when the storms come into our lives that we get fearful. The Bible calls us and encourages us and commands us to comfort and edify the lonely and the fearful. In this verse it says, and this is New King James, it says the faint-hearted. It says to comfort them. You know, in Romans 14:19, It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we one may edify one another. You being my sister or my brother, if you're hurting, I ought to be there for you. Either to pray for you, or to share an encouraging word with you, or as I began in my introduction, just to sit with you, just to listen to you, just to hold your hand, just to cry with you. You know, God didn't save me to go over and be an island all to myself. God saved me to be an encouragement to those around us. And yes, there are those who God has blessed with the gift of encouragement. But the Bible says, and he's talking to all of us, that we're to encourage or comfort one another. Edify one another. So when you are sitting in church and you see your sister or your brother and they have that look of loneliness or fearfulness, go sit with them. Go back and hold their hand. Or if you hear that they're going through something, we need to get up off our do-nothings and begin to start doing something. Because the Bible has commanded us to comfort and edify the lonely and the fearful. What did Jesus do? He comforted and edified. What do we call to do? Comfort and edify. We're called to be just like Christ. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she needed to be comforted and edified. And she told herself, she had to encourage her own self. Because the only way that she got from her home to where Jesus was, she had to encourage herself. Because in 1 Samuel 30:6, we see David doing that. And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Yes, there are times that you need to encourage yourself. Encourage yourself by getting into God's word. But most of all, encourage yourself by praying. You know, because God says, his word says that he loves a broken and contrite heart. And if you're lonely and you're fearful, you got a broken and contrite heart. And God needs to hear from you. God sees all and God knows all. But we need to voice all. Not only do we need to voice all, but we need to trust God in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. And while I'm here with the lonely and the fearful, I want to say this, because there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Be encouraged. Because the word of God is true. But we have to walk in his word. Now I want to speak to those who are learned. Those of you who have spent all your life in the church. You need to be comforted and edified. But not only do you need to be comforted and edified, you need to be comforting and edifying. God didn't bless you or call you out of your sin into his house to sit down and do nothing. You need to be comforted and edified. But you also need to comfort and edify. God has allowed you to go through some things in your life that will be a blessing to somebody else that's going through the same thing. You can't be comforting and edifying when people come into the doors of the house of God, God's house.
Yes, yes.
And you sitting on your first, on the first or second pew, and you never get up out of your seat and go and greet them. That person came in hurting.
Yes, 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 yes.
That person came in needing.
Yes, yes.
That person needed to be comforted and edified.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you doing your part? You know, it blows my mind because we come in and we sit up under God's word.
Yes, yes.
We gain all this knowledge.
Yes, yes, yes.
But then we don't do nothing with it. The Bible says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel.
Yes, yes.
To all nations.
Yes.
You know, and it's, when it says go, it says as you go. As you go to the grocery store.
Yes.
As you go to your job. As you go to visit your sister, your uncle, your auntie.
Yes. Yes.
As you go to the pharmacy.
Yes.
As you go to the fast food place.
Yes. Yes.
You can comfort and edify. You know, God speaks a word week in and week out, Wednesday after Wednesday.
Yes, yes.
And we take that word and we take it home. We fold it up in our Bible and we don't ever think about it again. Who is it helping? Yeah, you may have been blessed, but you don't do nothing with it. So guess what? You lose that blessing. Why? Because you got all you can, you put it in the can, and then you set on the can. You know, the Bible wants us to be about God's business. You who are learned, if you're not doing your part, there's a term that Jesus used over and over again. I'm not a term, but it's a group of people that he dealt with. And they were the Pharisees. They were very learned. They knew the word. But you know, they didn't do nothing about the word. They saw people every day hurting, needing, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't encourage. The only people they encouraged was themselves. Oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that publican over there. You know, that doesn't please God. What God wants is for us as his people to begin to build up and lift up those around us. Because what God does is God blesses you to be a blessing to somebody else. And as you bless that other person, that person begins to have a testimony about what God can do in their lives. And then they share that with somebody else. We are called to comfort and to edify. We're called to be encouragement to those around us. And I want to say this because there are times that the pastor and the preachers need encouragement.
Yes, right.
There are times that the deacons need encouragement.
Yeah.
There are times that your spouse needs encouragement. You know, so what are you doing as far as encouraging? The word says that we are to comfort one another.
Yes.
We are to edify one another.
Yes.
And just using Jesus' term when his parents came back to the temple and found him in the temple, he said, I must be about my father's business.
Yes, yes, yes.
What is your father's business? Who is your father? My father says that I must comfort and edify. And so today, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to encourage us and build us up that we might be the people that God has called us to be. We see what God is doing in Bethlehem. We see what God wants to do in Bethlehem. But you know what? We can pray all day long. But until we get up off our knees and begin to put legs and hands to those prayers, we're just going to be spinning our wheels. So I encourage us today to go forth and be doers of the word and not just hearers. Because God has a mighty plan that he wants to work out through you.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to thank you for listening today. And before we sign off, we always want to have an opportunity to share the love. Share the Love is the outreach campaign that we're doing at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, where we want to share Christ with 500 people. We want to add from that 550 people to our church body, and we want to baptize 75 new believers. And you may be an answer to our prayer as you come to terms with God's love. You see, in order to come to terms with God's love or be in the right relationship with God, first of all, you have to know that you are a sinner. I mean, we're all sinners. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including myself, Minister Ford, or anyone else you think that is holy. We've all sinned. And God's penalty for sin is death. That's the bad news. For the wages of sin is death. But the good news is the last part of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God has a great love for us, so much so that he made provision for our salvation from sin. And his provision is his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. For Romans 5:8 says, but God committed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. You see, God is not waiting for you to clean up your life. Not waiting for you to stop smoking, stop drinking, or whatever it is that you think that separates you from God. The only thing God is waiting for you to do is to confess. But Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So all you have to do to make peace or get right with God is pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you died and raised again. It was raised again for cost and price, penalty of my sins. Dear Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life as my Lord and Savior. If you can pray that simple prayer and believe it, and if you prayed that simple prayer for the first time, or willing to pray that prayer for the first time, then today you are or can be saved. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd love to see you in the service at Bethlehem at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, only 55 miles south on 35, exit 72. We'd love to see you in the service. If you're somewhere listening in Malaysia, Japan, or South Africa, United Kingdom, then we're praying that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. Now, let me give you our benediction. And again, if you were encouraged through this message, I want to encourage you to visit Reverend Bruce Ford's webpage at www.BethlehemBaptistChurch, or hear God's word at BethlehemBaptistChurch.com, and click Forward, the tab that says Forward. He has some more messages that are waiting for you. So let me give this prayer a benediction. Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name, Father. We pray that you will accept those who have accepted you, deliver them to a church home, put your hedge of protection around them, and all of us at the sound of my voice. Keep us until we meet again, either in the service or in cyber church. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord.